But today is Father's Day, and I got to say, I love Father's Day. I get to watch golf. The U.S. Open is on Father's Day every year. Did you know that? Isn't that brilliant? So people like me can watch it guilt-free. I want to start by quoting a father, a dad. This is something a dad said long ago. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like the grave, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. Let me stop. Why would you be tempted to attack innocence violently? Here's why. And they say, we shall find precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, if they say this, do not walk in the way with them. Listen to that language of walking. That's what my message will be about today. Fathers teaching their children how to walk. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. And then listen to this wise observation as he ends. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. My son, watch out for greed. It might lead you to do things you didn't think you'd ever do, including violence. And that violence will eventually recoil upon your own head. These are not just the words of a dad. You might recognize them. They're the words in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Isn't that amazing? How early Proverbs starts with this appeal of father to his son. Watch out for greed. Watch out for unjust gain. I want to teach you, my son, how to walk. It's not just words of a father. It's words of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a great place to start on Father's Day? Words of an inspired dad. And the words might sound kind of negative. Watch out. But these are life-giving words. Chapter after chapter, the dad will say, my son, don't be a fool. That's what it's all about in early Proverbs. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. I want to say to the adults, are you a fool? Were you a fool? You ever have that thought of, man, did I make some big mistakes? Man, did I nearly make life-altering mistakes, or maybe you did, and you just want someone to benefit from that. Could you pass it on? And how do you pass it on in a way that it's received well? Isn't that the challenge a lot of times as dads? The inspired father of Proverbs 1. Teaching a child how to walk. That's section 1 of this sermon. I don't really have 3 points as much as 3 sections, 3 acts, I guess. Act 2. Act 2, let's compare dads and moms from Scripture. Let's compare dads and moms from Scripture. And you're going to see where I'm going here. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 8. We'll start with moms. And then we'll go on to dads. It's a great passage. Now, as soon as we compare moms and dads, we have 2 risks. You might be nervous already. 2 risks. One is overdrawing the differences. And it's a matter of degree. We don't want to make it sound like it's too vastly different. And I certainly don't want to discourage single moms. And we'll talk about moms. Single dads, you might say, I don't have a partner. And it might be no fault of your own that you ended up this way. And you don't want to be discouraged hearing, oh, I'm missing without my partner on something that only a dad can give, only a mom can give. There are unique strengths of dads and moms, which we will see. But it's a matter of degree. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. You can learn from what instinct you might be missing, being a single mom or a single dad. Hopefully this will be helpful. And you know, we as a church would love to come alongside you, and we don't always know how to do that, to be honest. How do we come alongside single parents? How do we come alongside you if you're married parents? We'd love to know how to help. It's not always easy for us to know. Help us. All right, here's what's awesome about this passage. In 1 Thessalonians, you can miss this. Paul will say, hey, our ministry to you, Thessalonians, was like nursing mothers. And then a few verses later, he'll then say, oh, our ministry to you, Thessalonians, was also like dads. Both of them are positive, but in different ways. So it's a great way to go back to Scripture to see what the differences are. And we don't want to make that second mistake. I say the first mistake is you can overdraw the differences. Second mistake is to say there are no differences. And we'll see this passage won't allow us to do that. So let's turn there. Let's see what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2 about how Christian ministry should be like nursing moms. And how Christian ministry should also be like dads, training their kids to walk. All right, this is on page 986. If you're using the black Bibles we have provided here for you. All right, this will maybe sound like Paul is bragging. He's training the Thessalonians to recognize godly ministry and then replicate it. It's actually healthy and helpful. So let's see what he says first about moms, and specifically nursing moms. This is 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Let me read that again. It's only two verses. Let it sink in here. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves. Because you had become very dear to us. I can remember the first time I heard this. It was a video for Young Life Ministry when I was in college. And this was one of our leaders sharing this as far as their inspiration for outreach to high schoolers. Beautiful passage. If you were doing inductive Bible study, it's really simple. You start with trying to highlight what are the vivid words, the vivid adjectives, or the vivid nouns or verbs, whatever. And you might have these keywords I have listed here. Did you see the word gentle? Affectionate. Not just affectionate. Look how strong this is. Affectionately desirous of you. Sharing. And not even just sharing my stuff. I love sharing our very selves. Isn't that what a nursing mother does? Sharing her own body, sharing her own self, not just her stuff. Gentle, affectionate. And Paul says, we tried to be that among you, and so should all Christian ministry. And what's the goal? He uses the word care, like a mother, a nursing mother caring for her child. Well, isn't it great how mom's got in Father's Day here too? You insert yourself to Father's Day here. Great. But can I move on to fathers, since it is Father's Day, and dwell a little bit more there? So let us go to verses 11 and 12. All right, dads, this is what we should learn from. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Let's read that again. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And what are the key words there? Three active verbs. Like fathers, we exhorted you. We encouraged you. We charged you. I gotta admit, it sounds almost like a coach in the best sense. Exhorted, encouraged, charged. I even love that first one, exhorted. Notice it says, we exhorted each one of you. There's an individual aspect. You know, I'm a father to only four children. Only four. And you might be a dad only to one, two, three, whatever. And you have a unique responsibility to them individually. And same with Christian ministry. As much as we do things like I'm doing now where I talk to all of you, the corporate word ministry is still a place to encourage or exhort each one of you. Each one of you. And there's that word, exhort, encourage, charge. I don't know if they're three very distinct things. There's overlap in these three words. I got that last one, charged, I want to mention, though. We charged you. Now, I can admit, I didn't think much about charges being given until I became a Presbyterian. Now, that's not to say only Presbyterians give charges, but we like to. During ordination and things like that, you give a charge. Saying, here's some things you probably already know, but let me charge them, because things are going to get hard. Things are going to get hard. You're going to be discouraged, but it's worth it. And here are some things to remember. Maybe just a couple things. Let me charge you. And you can see Paul saying, this is how we were like a father. We exhorted, we encouraged, we charged you. I talked to a friend doing college ministry. And he just started saying what he saw at graduation. And I was at graduation for my daughter and a smaller one for my son. And so I saw a couple things too, but last month was college graduation. And this is what he said. He says, you know, there's no charge. That's an interesting observation. There used to be for a lot of graduations. But was there encouragement? Yeah, there was encouragement, but it was kind of weird. He said, I talked to some of the students afterwards. They thought it was a little weird too. It was pretty close to flattery. Not encouragement in the sense of a charge to go out there and there's things to learn, things to do, don't be discouraged, but it was closer to, you guys are great already, awesome, just as you are. And he went on and then said this. He says, I think our colleges are built to teach our kids one big thing, and that is no one has a right ever to correct you. No one has a right ever to correct you. You're fine, just the way you are. Now, why do I say that? Why would I point out observations, critiques like that? It's because this is the water we swim in, and we might not know we're wet. We are being discipled. This is not my goal, to pick a fight. Not my goal to say, look how awful whoever is out there, including a college. I don't mean to do that. But we're being shaped in ways we don't think about that observation. To tell kids for 4 years, no one has a right ever to correct you. And without correction, can we have exhortation? Can we have encouragement? Can we have walk this way? Don't walk that way. That leads to death. I've seen people go that way. I don't want you. I want to spare you from that. It looks like it's the path to easy riches. It leads to violence. It leads to death. My son, you're going to be tempted to that road. You're going to be tempted to that road. Hang tight to my words, son. I'm with you. Researcher Brad Wilcox at University of Virginia lists through his exhaustive social scientific research, you know, we found four differences between fathers and mothers worth listing. And their differences matter of degree. I only have time for one of them. Here's one. He says, regularly we are finding in surveys that dads tend to foster independence. That's a goal of theirs, more than moms. Again, this is not saying wrong or right. This is saying how fathers and mothers bring unique strengths, and Christian ministry should be both. But this is an interesting one. Fathers foster independence. When I read that, I thought, that's me. This is what I've been keen on, thinking about that launching point, and how do you prepare them? How do you put strength in their legs? How do you get them to that point? I gotta admit, that's been on my mind. Now, this is really interesting observation he gives. Who teaches kids how to swim? Dads or moms? He says, both. Of course, dads sometimes teach their kids to swim. Moms sometimes teach their kids to swim. He says, you wanna know the difference? What we found is when dads teach their kids to swim, they tend to stand behind the child. As the child is facing the pool and their social environment, maybe kids and other people in the pool, and the dad is behind, letting them face that. You hear a note of independence. Whereas moms tend to be in the pool or somewhere where they can make eye contact with the child, wanting to connect with them and all that. Two great different strengths, but for this Father's Day, to prepare our kids to walk independence. Although they're not ever truly independent, they're with the Lord, right? That's one of the things we want to train them in. To exhort them, to encourage them, to charge them. You can do this. I'm with you. Make them ready. You know, if you're not ready for this world, for independence, you know what that leads to? Anxiety. Highly anxious world when you're not ready for it. But this is not just, we got to make this distinctly Christian. And that, look at what Paul says. It's not just walk in general, walk in just some practical wisdom way. He says, again, read verse 12. We exhorted each one of you, encouraged you, and charged you to walk, in what way? In a manner worthy of God. Who calls you, my son, into his own kingdom and glory. Calls you, my daughter. Walk in a way, a manner worthy of God. Walk this way. I knew I was going to say walk this way. All I can hear is Run DMC and Aerosmith. All right, dads, how are we doing? Are we teaching them? Are we exhorting them? Are we encouraging them to walk in a manner worthy of God? Have you talked to them about avoiding temptation and self-destructive ways? My son, my daughter. Have you encouraged them where you see them growing and doing well? Dad, you might have to consciously look for that. Where am I seeing growth? How can I feed this back to them? It is hard growing up. So much to learn. What have you taught them implicitly? If they just looked at your behavior, how important would they think prayer is? How important would they think the name of God is? How they see the name of God being used on the lips of Dad. How important Sunday morning is. Part three, and this is our last part. This has everything to do with the gospel. I want to now talk about God as our Father adopted, but I want to start with an apology. Now, I've made this same mistake up here twice. I have had a couple times where all I really wanted to talk about was a family unit. A nuclear family in some home somewhere. Nuclear family, family unit. I could have used those terms in at least two different sermons. And I appreciate the feedback I've received on this. I used the term biological family. And that sounded like something negative against adoptive families. And believe me, nothing could be further than what I wanted to say. Oh, to be an adoptive parent. I think that is one of the most courageous, loving decisions. And it has everything to do with the gospel. And that's why my heart leaps to apologize to anyone who was hurt by that. Because you are reflecting the gospel in a way that I, as a biological dad, am not. Because how do we enter the family of God? You know it's by adoption, right? It's by adoption. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, the only begotten child God, because he's in the same nature as God. God the Father. Fully God himself, the Trinity, all that. With all the rights of being the firstborn, the heir, if you will, of all things. And how do we, as mere creatures, mere mortals, enter the family of God? It's through adoption, we're told. Through adoption. Now, you know the beauty of adoption. Is it so voluntary? And it's a lasting commitment, something you didn't have to do, something you weren't surprised by. That's the beauty of it. And the scriptures tell us that we are adopted. So that's why Jesus says, hey, when you pray, listen to the first two words you are now able to say. Our Father. Not just our Creator, that's true. Not just our Judge, that's true. Not just God, that's true. Our Father. With all the fatherly benefits that that entails. I'm only father to four children and I know I treat them different than your children. And certainly somebody's child I don't know on the other side of the globe. Right? As much as I might want to treat them fairly and all that, they're still not my child. I can't give them all my time, affection, resources. We are children of God. J.I. Packer, I do recommend. He taught me so much, especially in the 90s before I came to seminary. And I was just really appreciating knowing God in some of J.I. Packer's books. And he says, you know, I think adoption, that God is our Father, that might be the highest benefit of the gospel. Even higher than forgiveness. Even higher than justification. Like, what? What do you mean? Every time we had the Lord's Supper, we hear Jesus say, my blood for the forgiveness of sins. How important the forgiveness of sins, and it's not just forgiveness. We're declared righteous, justification. Because Jesus' perfect record is credited to us. We look perfect. We're innocent. Righteous. How can it get any better than that? And yet, it does. Because if you have a judge who says with his gavel, boom, you are free to go. You are innocent of all charges. What a blessing that is, especially when it took Jesus' life and death to achieve that. But how much more when the judge then says, and beyond your innocence and your freedom, I want to make you my child. You are now going to be in my family. I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to give you all the benefits that a father would give the child because you are now mine. I am adopting you into my family. Adoption. And I, the Lord says, I'm not just forgiving you and bring that security into your heart of full and final forgiveness, being declared righteous, and full and final adoption. Bring that security into your heart in an anxious world. You're safe. And then the Father says, and now because I'm your Father, I'm going to give you an additional grace. An additional grace. I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to teach you how to walk. I'm going to charge you because you have a path of growth, of service, of fruitfulness, of love and joy. I have things for you to do in this world, people to love. I have a garden for you to tend, a calling for you. You're going to need to have strength in your legs. You're going to have to be able to say no to that path, yes to that path. Stay close to me. I have things for you to do. You might not always like me correcting you. You might not always like me exhorting you, but I've owned your life. I've owned your flourishing. I want you to flourish in every way. And that means I need to be a dad to you. You need to hear these things. And I'm for you and I'm behind you and I'm coaching you on. It says everything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, our adoption. We didn't deserve it. He loved us first. And he gives us his family name. We're his. All right, dads. Let's encourage. Let's exhort. Let us teach our kids how to walk. I don't know what that means for you. How do you learn to do that? How do you do it in a way that it's received well? You ever struggle with that? But let's do it. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray for strength and guidance in these areas. Father, we thank you for dads. I didn't even mention my own dad, but so thankful for him. And I'm even more thankful for you, by far. My Father in heaven, we start by praying, Our Father. Oh, Lord, help us to be good fathers. And if you're not a father here, Lord, I want them to be encouraged, to encourage fathers, to be fathers. And Lord, now I want to end with the Lord's Prayer that we will say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.